Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host. And I'd like to ask you, how would you rate your emotional maturity? I hope excellent. But just in case, we have a good show today about maintaining your emotional edge. Staying balanced, actually even getting better. In order to do that, we're going to interview the author of a wonderful book I just read called The Emotional Edge. And so we're going to talk with Crystal Andros Morissette. Crystal, welcome to Energy Stew.
Hey, Peter, how are you? I'm so excited to be here, and I love that you've read the book.
Well, yeah, very few hosts read their books.
I know, it's great. I'm actually like, wow, we read the book. It's good, eh?
I always read my books. Because I want to be smart.
Mm.
I want to have emotional maturity when I...
Yes, you want to be in your man energy.
Well, even better than that. Just higher
energy.
Well, the guy, you know, we're going to talk about men energy versus women energy, too, because there are difficulties for men and women to relate to each other. And
yeah, especially when we're not in our really empowered emotional age. When we're in one of those disempowered emotional ages, yeah, you definitely start having a lot of conflict between the sexes, that's for sure.
Well, there really hasn't been as much conflict in the past when women were just totally beaten down and had to be submissive or else.
Yeah. And you know, it's funny, Peter, I had a guy not too long ago say to me, you know, Crystal, though, it used to be great. Things were great. Families were great. People were happy. I said, men were happy. It was great for men. And don't get me wrong. Things have taken a big, I think when the pendulum's been one way for so long and it lets go, it does swing and it sort of has whipped over to the other side. But it's starting to find its balance, and that's really why I wrote this book, is finding that balance within yourself so that you can take that balance into your relationships and out into your communities, and eventually we really can heal the world when we're, you know, when we do that work on our inner world, ourselves.
Well, actually, when we become empowered adults,
mm-hmm.
And there's so much in your book about understanding what it's like to be an adult versus a parent or a child.
Yeah, and that's the way I sort of, I thought it was the simplest way to use archetypes. So for people who don't really understand that word, what's an archetype? It's just this really quick call to action. It's like, you know, if I were to say, the way I just made a joke and said, oh, are you the god or the goddess? That's an archetype, or the seductress, or the playboy, or the player, or the martyr. You know, these are archetypes, and so I thought the easiest way to help people really understand their emotional age is if we broke it down into three simple archetypes that within each of us, and you know, all the great thinkers, I'm going to put myself in there, all the great thinkers said that the personality or our persona or the complexity of a human being is made up of three. So, you know, Freud talked about the superego and the id and the ego, and Carl Jung talked about, you know, the ego and the shadow, and then the collective unconscious. And even in Christianity, they talk about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But think Father is sort of this parent archetype. It's the most selfless part of us. It's that parent within us that gives, and sometimes can give to the point of just self-abnegation, that gives and does and serves. And then we all have within us the Son, which this is not, I'm not saying Christianity is the Son, but the Son is, or the daughter within us, the child within us, is that part that is more demanding, has needs, knows their needs need to be met, not quite sure how to get their needs met, but knows there's better out there, and they can be demanding and difficult and narcissistic even at times, coy, cute, charming. That's that child part of us. And what happens for a lot of us, Peter, is that we sort of have this battle inside between this parent and the child, which really manifests in our outer world. How many of us are battling with our parent or our child because this is the unhealed part of us? And so when we do this work with the emotional edge, it's really about whether it's your id and your superego that's in a battle, or whether it's your shadow and your ego that are in a battle, This is the battle that goes on within, and so the emotional edge is really finding that edge, that place where we heal the battle within, and we can really step into our greatness as a man, as a woman, as an empowered adult. And we all have that within us, but for a lot of us, we don't ever reach that pinnacle because the battle within, between the selfless part of us with the selfish part of us, becomes it takes up all of our energy.
Well, I think what's important is that you really elaborate on each of these shadows that we have, of the shadows of the parent and the child, and how they rear up in our daily lives.
Uh-huh.
And there's nothing wrong with, you know, being in those roles as long as you're consciously, responsibly aware of them.
And I think it's as we actually heal the child, so that there will always be a child within you, but a healed child is very different than a wounded child.
Exactly.
And a healed parent is very different than a wounded parent within. So it's not wanting to get rid of. Like when I hear people talk about, I just want to get rid of my ego. Why would you want to do that? That's a part of you. There's a healthy ego, and then there's the unhealthy part. And so the work I do is really about saying all of those, if we call them shadow parts of ourselves, all of those sort of, I call them emotional archetypes. And I have a lot of fun, a lot of tongue-in-cheek sort of, you know, making up so people can relate. They go, oh my gosh, yes, I'm such a martyr, or I'm a perfectionist, or I'm the chubby bubby, I'm the worry wart. And instead of being ashamed of that, you know, number one, I help them to recognize what part of your child is so, I don't want to get too deep too fast into this, but it's really recognizing there's some part of you that's afraid of those archetypes, that's ashamed of those archetypes, and when you're ashamed of any part of you, then there's a disconnect, and we want to bury, we want to hide, so we overcompensate on the other side. And so this is really, really powerful work about sort of exploring the darkest parts of you in a way that is loving and shines light on and listens to and learns, almost like, wow, I buried that part of me when I was 5, or I buried that part of me when I was 10, I buried that part of me when I was 15 or 20. And it's sort of going into the dark with a big light and saying, I can't keep running from myself. I need to go back and reclaim these sort of disowned or these buried, these shameful parts of me that have so much to teach me about life and about myself and about what I need. And when we can do that, we actually really just transcend almost effortlessly into becoming a more empowered, healthy adult.
Well, we really do need to keep forgiving ourselves all the time, but in responsible ways, not in ashamed ways.
Right.
And really understand that it's natural to have these tendencies and these behaviors, as long as we can handle them, you know, responsibly.
And own them. Know them.
Yes, and own
them.
Get to
know them.
The biggest way to own anything is through empowering self-love.
Yes.
And if we can hold ourselves in a deeper truth that we're okay anyway.
Yes.
You know, and
yes.
While reading your book, I was reminded occasionally of Byron Katie, who wrote the book
Love
What
her.
Is. Yeah, and she's, you know, she's been around quite a while and has helped so many people. And so many of us have grown from that and understand that we need to balance our lives and balance ourselves through just believing in ourselves more.
And a lot of people don't understand there's actually a process. Like just telling someone, just believe in yourself. They believe in themselves when things are good, but when things crumble or things fall apart,
that's
when we don't believe in ourselves. And for the work I do is really saying, in that moment, okay, we can be mortified that we're falling apart. We can be ashamed. We can want to hide. I call that the lone wolf. That's a child archetype. We can run and hide and try to work through whatever we're going through on our own. We can feel ashamed. We can shun it. Or we can say, see, in my estimation, Peter, I think every one of us along the way, we were taught certain qualities, attributes, ways of showing up in the world, whether it's being a charmer or whether it's being a Puritan, whether it's being a warrior or whether it's being just a complete rescuer, a doormat. We were taught certain qualities are unacceptable, embarrassing, shameful, And so we made a decision. I don't want to be that. I don't want anyone to think I'm that. So we literally start bearing these very important parts, not who we are, but little fragments, little parts of us. Excuse me. And we bury those. And then what happens is we become adults, and we actually need to call upon that little part of me. And so when I have a trauma or a tragedy or a crisis, I don't actually realize that I actually have all of these parts of me that could come to the rescue, that could be there to save me, or that could be a warrior for me, or that could be a Puritan for me, they could be a perfectionist for me. I don't have to bury these parts of me. And when that happens, that's really why we fall into a very disempowered emotional age. We literally start showing up like a child or like a parent. And it might sound noble to be like operating in your superego or operating in, you know, maybe Jung would have called that our collective unconscious, where we're just so in the flow and we're so divine and we're floating around the atmosphere helping and saving everybody. But there also comes a point where that selflessness can implode on you too. You can become so selfless that you're now exhausted. You have forgotten about yourself. You're not making enough money. Your bills aren't being paid, but you're selfless and you're giving and you're loving. So it's really exploring, you know, what part of you you're mortified by, you're ashamed of.
Yeah, and what part of us then we can bring out. Like, for instance, there are times where we need to be a narcissist or a drama queen or...
Yes. But if you were taught that that's horrible, if somebody actually taught you when you were a little boy, you know, let's say your dad was a narcissist and your mom was always saying, he's such a narcissist, he's so fake, he's a fraud, you know, we don't ever want to be like that. You might make a decision as a child, I never want anyone to think I'm narcissistic. So I'm so mortified that part of me. Maybe there was a time in your life where you were really demanding and difficult and your mother said, you're just like your father, and you were so ashamed that you instantly buried your narcissist, and now you're a grown man and you're trying to do these incredible things in the world, and but you can't, you're so mortified by the narcissism that you wouldn't get yourself your own radio show. You can't get yourself more money. You can't, because you can't actually fully show up in a little way that's maybe, hey, I'm really important, I matter. You buried that part of you. So it's not that you would want that part to be who you are, but you know, we all need a little bit of that, and a little bit of narcissism is healthy. A little bit of being a worrywart is healthy. A little bit, but for the struggle we have is that we don't know how to find the little bit and actually learn from it. And so, for me, if let's say someone was really struggling with wealth or feeling important, I would actually take them back. Let's go back and find, where's your narcissist? Sometimes people say, I don't have one. I don't even know what. Oh, no, you do. Oh, you do. Let's find where they're buried. And often it's buried in the painful, injured, ill parts of the body. The body is this brilliant messenger. So I use the body a lot to take someone into a meditation and drop into those most painful places. And instead of taking a painkiller, let's find that buried, painful story. Let's heal it. So that you don't have, you can actually walk around and in a way laugh and say, I'm a narcissist, I'm a narcissist, oh my God, I'm a narcissist, I'm a narcissist, 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 until the idea of being a narcissist isn't so mortifying. It's, hey, we can all be a little narcissistic from time to time. That's healing. That's actually very healing. And a lot of people don't know how to really do that. We can own the great parts of ourselves. We're happy when people shine light on the wonderful parts of us. That feels so great. But we are mortified when someone points out or shines some light on our dark side. And I think when we can really sort of shine light on it and say, and so what? And so what? I can't be ashamed of myself. You know, for most of my life, I was afraid to be a narcissist. And finally, when I embraced it, you know, how can I have the confidence to get on your radio show or any show if I don't think I'm important or my opinions matter or I have value? So that's just one example. But I have 22 archetypes in the book. And the reality is we have a little bit of every one of those. And when you can learn from each one and get to the point you can chuckle at yourself, laugh at yourself, that's actually such a high level of empowerment. You're really resonating now in joy and self-love. And when you show up in that light, you actually liberate everyone around you to be lighthearted and have a chuckle at themselves and not to be so serious. And yet when you need to be serious, you can be, but you're not owned by any one archetype.
I think it's important, really, to be able to see our inner needs. For instance, I have a shadow and then this need to have a radio show.
Mm-hmm.
And the shadow is the fear of being unimportant. And then I have a radio show, and then there are people saying, don't sound so self-important.
I know. You know, so they're actually really helping you recognize your shadow. Those people that are mean to us, those people that hurt us, actually are the most brilliant gifts to show us where we are disowning a part of ourselves that needs light.
I've learned that recently.
That your shadow says I'm unimportant. And I say, find that unimportant child. Find that little boy. When did you first have that first thought that maybe I'm unimportant? And there's a little boy in there that we need to go in and meet and get to know and say, oh, my God, you're so important, and I'm so sorry that someone did that to you and someone made you feel that way.
That feels really strong. Yeah, it's it can happen throughout life, too, because, as you just said, people are really the gift of helping us see our shadows, and they don't realize it. People don't realize how much they're reading into our needs.
Here's something narcissistic. Every single person is here for you. Every single person is here for me. Every relationship I have is all about me. Every relationship you have is all about you. It's for all of us because we can't heal alone. So we can only actually, I believe that's why God created all of us, so that we could actually have a look at ourselves. God could see himself, herself, itself, their self, by actually having these mirror image, these reflections. So when someone reflects back to me traits that I feel mortified of, or I hate that person, and I never even could use the word hate until about a year ago, because that was such a horrible thing to ever hate. But being able to even validate someone and say, I hate that for you, I hate that that happened for you, that can actually empower someone. So those people that are mean to us, that are what they show, for me, I look at it and I say, you know, rather than saying that person, and that doesn't mean you need to invite miserable, mean, hurtful people into your life, but only wounded people get triggered, and only I can heal my own wounds. So that person is triggering me.
We're all wounded in one way or another.
Of course.
And it's about
finding those. So people show us where we're wounded, and they show us where we're healed. People are constantly showing us, oh, you're healing. You know how you know you're healing? Because you're less and less triggered. You're more and more alive. You're more and more lit up. You feel happier and better about yourself. More people are shining light on you. And when those people come along and shine their darkness on you, it's actually just a great way to say, wow, I still have these dark shadows that need healing, that need love. What part of me is so angry? Why am I so mortified by being angry? What part of me is so whatever that feeling is? And, you know, I have a great exercise in the book, The Emotional Edge. It's called Healing Your Triggers, or Releasing Your Triggers. I have a Healing Your Feeling meditation, and I have a Releasing Your Triggers. And I actually have them as a meditation anybody can download for free if you go to my website, TheEmotionalEdge.com. But it's a 10-step process. And I tell you, I do this. I've been doing this with thousands of women, and now I'm finally doing it with men, too. I have a course now that's my first co-ed course. And, you know, we go right in, and I bring people through the process. And without fail, I've just had thousands of people say, I just can't even believe that if you really do the work and you just do the process, at the end of it, you have such a sense of the lights turned on. And when the light turns on, you suddenly can start to not be so afraid of your own darkness. You don't have to be so afraid of being triggered. You don't have to be afraid of the fear of the feeling, because it's really the feeling we don't want to feel around certain people, the emotion. They're creating an emotion in us that we don't want to feel, because at some point in our life we felt that way. It was an awful feeling. I don't ever want to feel that way again, so I'm going to bury that part of me. And so a trigger is just like, it's sort of like having a cavity. And you can have the idea, well, I'm just never going to eat again, because when I eat, the food touches my tooth and I'm in pain. Or you can remove the cavity. You can remove the tooth or fill the cavity so you don't have to be afraid to eat. So my philosophy is, rather than going through life in a bubble, why don't we go in there and find those rotting spots? Not because we're rotten, but because rotten things have happened to us, and we didn't know how to deal with it at the moment. We didn't know what to do in that moment with that feeling, with that person, with that helplessness, so we buried it somewhere until we were strong enough, until we were ready enough to heal it and to find the gift in the garbage, so to speak. And so when people trigger us, it's like, this is a great opportunity now to realize. And when someone triggers you in truth, you'll feel it in your body. So I say, just go right to that place you're feeling it. What are you feeling? What is this person making you feel? Whether they're making it, it is bringing up. And when did you learn that that feeling is the most unacceptable thing to feel? Who taught you that feeling that was just an overwhelming, unacceptable thing? And when you can go back into that and actually shine light on it, you don't need a lot of therapy. In fact, you don't need therapy, although God bless therapists, because we all need someone to talk to. But it's really almost an awareness. Oh, my God, I was taught to not feel that feeling, but that's part of me. I can't go through my whole life being afraid to feel certain things. I have to go back and just heal that moment and find that wisdom that, wow, this changed me, or this, but look at the forgiveness I found. Look at the wisdom I found. Can I recontextualize that story now so it doesn't own me? Yeah, because when you can go back and start to own those stories and say, yeah, that horrible thing did happen to me, and I did feel powerless, and I don't want to feel that feeling again. But you know what? That powerlessness taught me this, 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 this. It gave me this, this, and this. Wow, I don't have to be afraid of that anymore.
Right.
That's becoming an empowered adult.
There are two different ways to mature, and one way is through process, and that's what you're offering, is to understand ourselves by examining ourselves, of our conditioning, of the way we've experienced life, and the people around us have helped us experience. And to go through this and to discover how it's in our lives, how it's in our lifestyle, how it's in our bodies, and take responsibility for it. And that's wonderful. And see, I work a little differently, and so the work you do is so important to me, because I work more cerebrally. I look at our human design. I look at our astrology, our numerology, the different ways that we're born to be.
And I love all those too. And they're so important
too.
I'm sure you do.
But I'm not as process oriented as you are, and so I'm glad that you're there to offer this and give people the chance to experience themselves.
Yeah, you know, Peter, we are all important. Like, every one of these healing modalities, there's not just one way, and we need great sages and healers and spiritual gurus. We need astrologers, and because I'll tell you, I have an unbelievable intuition. Like, just the other night, I was out, and I'm like, "Oh, you're a Virgo," and I just started nailing them on everything. And you're that can't be true. And I was able to, but because I came from such, and I don't want to use the scientific, but I'm going to for a moment, because my actual background growing up, I have what a psychologist would call complex PTSD. I went through such extreme abuse, and just that until I was about 21, I didn't have memory. I didn't have... I had this overdrive flight in my brain that I would flee quick from things. I was afraid so much. I buried so many of my emotions. So for me to be able to, let's say, for example, read a book, whether it was Debbie Ford's or whether it was yours or anybody's, and be able to, if they gave me some step-by-step things and they worked, I, in my brain, was able to start saying, okay, when I would read about it, I'd say, okay, so people who have gone through what I've gone through have these similar responses. And so I am so spiritual. I feel God has had such a healing in my heart. And that is equally, if not more powerful, that's healed my soul and brought me to this place. However, along with that, I needed to actually scientifically see, okay, my brain is acting this way because this is a normal response to trauma. Oh, my God, there are actual processes, scientifically proven processes, that also support my spirituality. And I wanted every way to heal. I felt like I wanted, like, believe me, Deborah Silverman's a great friend of mine. I go in and she does great readings, and I have Colette Baron Reed is another great friend of mine. And I mean, I've done 3 books with Hay House. I did the I Can Do It events. Mm-hmm. I traveled with Wayne Dyer, and these were my gurus and friends, and really, I would love to write books based on spirituality, but I also knew this book was like a whole different thing coming through me, and it felt like it was a prescription of very sort of practical psychology for that person that is afraid or doesn't want to venture into the spiritual world, that will say, I don't believe in a God, or I don't believe in astrology, or I don't believe in, then I'd say, well, there is still things you can do with your brain then, that can heal you, and believe and trust in this, and it's working. So believe me, I still think God has done a massive, and the universe and energy is really what ticks for me. But I love being able to present things in sort of a scientific way as well.
Sure. No, I like that too. I'm a professional intuitive, and I have a healing school, thousands of people with me over the years. So I'm. That's how I function in the world, is through that larger consciousness.
Yes. Yes. And we all do.
Help
truthfully.
Consciousness.
We all are, but some people don't want to hear
but
that.
Some of us are more.
You know, I did. Like I said,
way.
I did 3 books with Hay House, and when I went to Random House with this book, it took about a year of them drilling into me. You have to change the way you're speaking for these mainstream people. You have to stop talking in those. You have to talk more scientifically, and it was challenging for me, but it actually became fun at the end, because I will never lose that side that's so deeply intuitive and fiercely spiritual. I love, though, that some of the scholars now are taking me seriously.
Well, they have to. And this book, The Emotional Edge, is a very serious book, and it's packed with incredible opportunities, including those processes that you put people through, you know, the meditations, the guided meditations, and so much information.
Thank you.
We're getting right near the end of the show, and people can go to theemotionaledge.com, right?
Yes, and in fact, Oprah.com has featured my Emotional Edge quiz twice in the last 2 months. I'm really excited about that. You can actually go to theemotionaledge.com. You can take the Emotional Edge quiz from Oprah.com. You can download my meditations next Wednesday, and I would love to gift you, and I'd love to gift 5 of your callers or your listeners with the course that I'm offering. It's a $300 course. We start next Wednesday. So if any of your listeners...
The show won't air until after that.
Okay.
So
well, that's okay.
That.
You know, but it's a great course that we're starting next week, and
right.
You know, I would love to offer that as well.
We're getting the music to say that I have to sign off.
She never shuts up.
Crystal Andrus Morissette, thanks so much for being
Thank
a guest
you.
On Energy Stew. And this is Peter Roth, your host. I can be reached at peter@heartriver, heart river.org, or 212-222-7748. I'd love to hear from you, and thanks so much for listening.